You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Once Upon a Time. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Once Upon a Time news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Once Upon a Time.
Welcome to the series premiere of Once Upon a Time. Here with me, this is Jason Parsley with the South Florida Gay News. I have Mike Rothman
from Hollywood.com. How you guys doing?
And
Meredith Stebbin. Hi, guys. Freelance writer and photographer.
So we're going to jump right into the summary tonight with, again, Once Upon a Time. It's a series premiere was tonight on ABC. If some of you listening may know, the three of us just came off of Charlie's Angels, which was canceled a few days ago. So we're glad to be back already with a new show. So
kind of a better show, I'm not going to lie. But, yeah, a new show.
Much better show.
I was very pleasantly surprised when watching it. I had very low expectations going into a show about fairy tale characters living in the real world. So I just want to put that out there. And I actually enjoyed it. So let me just give a recap of the actual series and what it's supposed to be about. Basically, Snow White and Prince Charming do not live happily ever after. The evil queen comes back and puts a curse on the enchanted forest and sends all of the fairy tale creatures to Maine, which I do think that would be a curse.
It's beautiful this time of year, though, so I don't think it's much of a curse.
It's cold as hell, and who would want to live in such a cold place?
I like it cold, so maybe I'm the evil queen reincarnated. So,
as one writer put it, I think it was in the Tribune, at least it's not Detroit.
Good point, but now that would be hell.
I feel like I've heard, not calling you out, but the writer, I feel like I've heard that before. Haven't you? Like, it's like, yeah. This is not Detroit. Poor Detroit. They get hammered.
So, okay, here we go. So this show starts off with Prince Charming galloping to save his beautiful bride-to-be, Snow White.
Jennifer Goodwin.
And Prince Charming is Josh Dallas. So,
you like Josh Dallas, didn't you?
Josh Dallas is very hot, I will say. Meredith?
Yeah, he's totally handsome. Handsome man. Yep.
I plead the fifth.
So, we meet the characters. Prince Charming gives Snow White a quick little kiss, brings her back to life. They get married, and during the ceremony, the evil queen, played by?
The evil queen is Lana Parrilla?
I think Parrilla. She is Puerto Rican, so Parrilla sounds right.
It could be Parrilla, but I just put a yah for all double L's at this point.
Okay.
Meredith makes fun of me because instead of saying villa, I say via.
So she, the evil queen, breaks up the happy marriage or the happy ceremony and tells them that she's going to put a curse and take away all of their beautiful happy endings. Then it jumps to the real world. And now this was a point that a couple articles pointed out, the story continues to jump back and forth from fairy tale land to the real world. Was that a problem?
I'm usually critical of this kind of thing. I didn't think it was too confusing. I mean, I'm that's one of my biggest flaws in the organization. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty easy to follow.
I agree. I don't think it was that terrible. Some of the jumps were a little short. It was only a few seconds, so it did get a little too jumpy, but I think overall they did a well job. So we meet Henry, a young boy who we later find out he is I guess, Snow White's grandson, and he is looking for his mother. Then it jumps again over to the mother, Emma Swan, played by...
One of my favorites, Jennifer Morrison, who was on House, How I Met Your Mother, a couple of the shows. She was definitely a good grab for Once Upon a Time for the show.
And now Emma's dressed in a beautiful red dress, who I loved her dress. Mike also loved her, but for other reasons.
Well, I watched it. For something that you guys don't know out there, it was pretty interesting. I haven't seen this before. IMDb had the full episode for about a week up before it even premiered. So I watched it today on IMDb. I watched it in our little makeshift studio. So I watched it again. And then I watched it a third time. I think it's rolling right now. And that red dress is just fantastic. Can we change bride's dress to a red dress that looks like that? Because I'll get married tomorrow if that's the case.
She looked good. She did.
I think the question was, can he change it to a red dress, Meredith?
Yes. Anything you want.
Oh, okay. Got a challenge there going on. Okay. So we meet Emma, and she is what we think is a simple date, but what turns out to be she's a Bond's bell woman.
Oh, can I plug in the guy she's meeting on the date is Warren Christie, who's actually a leading man for the sci-fi show Alpha, which I thought was kind of interesting. Not a big role, but cool little cameo.
Very small cameo. We meet him. She basically rains on his parade, calls him out that he skipped Belle. So she chases him outside as he turns over the table, runs outside when he realizes who he's having dinner with. And then he gets in his car, tries to leave, and there's a lock on his tire. I don't know what that's called.
A boot.
A boot, okay.
But not Canadian, not a boot. Not a Canadian boot, but a boot on a car.
I've never had the boot on my car, but he could not take off. She slams his head into the steering wheel.
This is the one part I didn't like. She slams his head into the steering wheel, and he passes out. I thought it was kind of unrealistic, but...
And of all the professions, why is she a Bell's Bond woman?
She's trying to come across as like this wanderer who hasn't found her life. You know, she's a floater in life, and she does this. And when the Queen asked her later on, like, "What? I'm sure you've kept busy." She goes, "I take care. You know, she has no career. She hasn't found herself."
I mean, she could be working retail though. Why Bell's Bond?
Fits into the story.
I think she's a tough chick, and I think they wanted her to come across as a very independent, tough woman, tough chick. As we will learn later on, she's supposed to save all the fairy tale creatures. So she can't be just a retail chick or
even a trainer. An aerobics instructor.
Aerobics instructor, okay.
She can't exactly work at Nordstrom's Rack. That's the thing. She's got to be a nice, independent, strong, kick-ass woman.
So anyway, so dinner's over. She goes home, find out it's her birthday. She's celebrating alone with a single cupcake.
And the question is, how old is she, Jason?
She is 28 years old,
which
will tie into later, and we'll bring that up later. But she gets a knock at the door, opens the door. Henry, her long-lost son, as she just finds out, is there, and she's flabbergasted. She has no idea what to say. She gave him up for adoption after he was born, and he's now on her doorstep on her 28th birthday.
Now, I wonder if the father will be a fairy tale character. I wonder who the father is and if that will somehow tie in.
Yeah, they don't go into the father at all yet.
He's going to get back in. It was very vague and I think purposely vague, right? Because she was like, oh, yeah, oh, no. Like, she makes like a big deal out of it and she's like, he doesn't know, don't worry. But I'm sure.
Maybe it's Jack.
Where's the sheriff?
Jack.
Oh, who's Jack? Which one's Jack?
No, it wasn't the sheriff. Oh, maybe it was. Oh. Jackson Beanstalk. Okay, so next up...
He did something with his bean.
Yes, next up, the Queen... Snow White and Prince Charming decide to go to Rumpelstiltskin to find out what this curse is all about and how they can stop it. And Rumpelstiltskin is this slimy little troll-like character, and he's kind of creepy. And
he looked like he had like some body glitter on. Is that me?
Well, I think he's supposed to be some like a leprechaun type person. And I know that I actually forgot who Rumpelstiltskin was, so I had to look him up to see exactly what his fairy tale was all about. I remember, obviously, Snow White and Prince Charming, but did you guys know who Rumpelstiltskin was?
I knew the name, obviously, but I didn't know the story. And this is what is one of the kind of cool things about the show that really drew me in, is that you get to kind of relive, in more of an adult way, all these stories. Like you said, you hit it on the nail. Like, look it up and find out the backstory, which is kind of cool.
So Rumpelstiltskin decides that he will help them as long as Snow White gives him the name of her child. Because once he knows your name, he has some sort of power over you. And she accepts, and he basically tells her that, what does he tell her? That the queen's curse will
freeze time.
Freeze time, and there will be no more happy endings.
Happy endings are over.
Yes. So then we jump back to Emma, who is now driving Henry to Storybrooke. Obviously, Storybrooke, you know, how obvious is that? Storybrooke, Maine, where she's taking him back to his real adopted mother. And the first character we meet in Storybrooke is Archie, the psychiatrist, who happens to also be none other than Jiminy Cricket.
He was the first character that was, when you go to the flashbacks, you're like, wow, that's a big change. Like, the other ones were kind of like, okay, a little makeup, and he was interesting. So I'm kind of...
He went from a cricket to a man. So it was a big change. And Jiminy Cricket is from Pinocchio. And in Pinocchio, he plays Pinocchio's conscience.
Yeah.
So that's who Jiminy Cricket is.
He actually kind of gave me the creeps. I didn't know who he was.
I thought he was hitting on Emma. He was kind of like smiling. He's like, "Who do we have here?"
Yeah, I wasn't sure where he was going with that.
But I guess he'll be the moralistic guy throughout the series, I imagine. Then we flash back to Fairytale Land, and we see now there's some debate here. I don't know if it's Tinkerbell or a fairy godmother, but it's a little bitty little person floating around in a very skimpy dress with.
Nothing little bitty about her chest assist. I thought it was a little odd that she has, can I just say it, boobs the size of my head. And she was like,
not even double D. I mean, this is like double F. I mean, these were double F. They were coming out of the dress. You don't expect a Tinkerbell or fairy godmother would be dressed like that.
I don't think it's a godmother. I think it was a fairy that turned Pinocchio into a real boy. I think she was part of the Pinocchio fairy tale.
What was her name?
I think it was just Fairy.
Just Fairy?
Yeah.
Fairy? I have the image of the cartoon in my head of an older lady in a white dress. And she was wearing a white dress, too. So
she was wearing blue.
Yeah.
A blue?
A blue dress, yeah.
I'm thinking of the
fairy godmother from Cinderella.
Okay.
See, there's a lot of fairy tales have fairy godmothers. So maybe she's just generic fairy godmother.
Look, I've blocked out a lot of my childhood, so maybe it's because it's all mixed into one.
Well, the fairy godmother / Tinkerbell / fairy brings a tree to Snow White and says, with this tree, it will save the kingdom. The only catch is it can only save one person. So, of course, everyone agrees that Snow White will be the one person who will be saved. So they give the tree to Geppetto, Pinocchio's father, to fashion into...
Not the cat from Meet the Parents, by the way.
Meet the Parents was Jinx.
No, but Geppetto was the one that milked and the little teat and Geppetto, the soft milk, yes.
Okay. So Geppetto fashions the tree into a wardrobe, which will then protect, presumably, Snow White later on.
First of all, side note, the fairy with turquoise hair was in the original Pinocchio, so perhaps that's why she's wearing the turquoise dress.
Oh, the blue fairy.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the wardrobe. You made a good call earlier about it.
If it was from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but I'm not sure that's part of it.
They disappear.
The
baby goes in there, and then they open back up. And
we're jumping forward.
Sorry.
People, let's keep to the shtick here.
What kind of taskmaster here?
next, we have... Where was I? Oh, we get to Storybrooke. We meet the mayor of Storybrooke, who happens to be Henry's adopted mother, who happens to be the evil queen in the fairyland. So she's real bitchy, let's say, a strict taskmaster. And we also meet the hot sheriff beside her. And I had to have to say that that's the one unrealistic thing about the show is there's no sheriff that incredibly hot.
And he's British, too.
No, Irish.
Oh,
yes, Irish.
Wow. I'm on a roll tonight.
He's played by...
Do I?
We don't know. So Henry,
Meredith is on it. She's gonna look this up.
Okay, Meredith, get to searching. I used to be the searcher when we were doing Charlie's Angels, but I've given it now to Meredith. So then we have Henry says that, or Emma says, why can't these fairy tale creatures just leave Storybrooke? And Henry says, well, bad things will happen, and a bad thing does happen. There's a lot of foreshadowing actually in this. You know, in the series, like,
do you think the bad thing was? I know you're gonna get into it now, but do you think that was the bad thing? The wolf? Like, I say, has to leave. Like, she can't leave.
Not the wolf, but the car wreck. When she's leaving, she wrecks into the Storybrooke sign because a wolf appears in the middle of the road, which I think the wolf is from Little Red Riding Hood.
Okay.
And did you notice that the car she's driving resembles a carriage, like horse and buggy carriage?
Oh, well, it was a Volkswagen bug. So. Horse and buggy. I get it. Horse and buggy. I see. And Mike and Meredith caught up a lot of these little details I missed.
We have to plug in that this is written by the writers from Lost. So there's going to be, which is really cool, and I really appreciate that, even though it's not going to be anything like Lost. But it's cool because there's going to be little things that we can pull out like that. Like, I guarantee you, everything you think of that might be hidden meaning is hidden meaning.
The hidden eggs.
Yeah.
They had a lot of hidden eggs in Lost. And. Well, in a way, it's kind of similar. Lost, they were trying to get off the island, right? In this, they're trying to get out of Storybrooke, back into the Enchanted Forest. So it's kind of similar. So anyway, after Emma has the car wreck, she wakes up in jail of all places, not a doctor's office, in jail. And she meets in her jail cell. Next to her is a grumpy old man who happens to be Grumpy the Dwarf in Fairy Tale Land. Most of the characters play two parts, one in the real world and one in the fairy tale land, which, what do they call it?
Well, according to Lost principles, is the real world the real world, or is the real world the fairy tale world? We don't know.
Well, actually, that's another similarity with Lost. You know, in Lost, you had these parallel worlds, right? Here, you have the real world and the Enchanted Forest. So it's actually very similar.
You don't know which is which. You could, the most obvious probably is kind of going to be turned on its head, and you know, that's what they're trying to do.
So the next person we meet is, Emma first uncovers, she's also a hacker. She hacks little Henry's computer to find out where he's at, because now Henry is missing again. So she hacks the computer, finds out that she...
So what's the website?
Oh.
YoMama.com? No, who's your mama?
Who's your mama.com?
Yeah.
Which sounds like a porn site, but I guess Henry spent... $200 to...
$246 at whosyourmama.com in order to find out who his mama was. And it worked because he found his mama. Now, the credit card Henry used was from Mary Margaret, his teacher. So, of course, they go to see Mary Margaret. Mary Margaret turns out to be Snow White. And when we first see Mary Margaret, she's releasing a blue bird from her window. And she says something corny, but I forget what it is.
No, she does the old, like, breakup line. She's like, if you love them, release them, and they will come back to you if it's meant to be, something like that.
A lot of little fairy tale corny lines I can definitely see happening in this show. But did you guys notice that she also did that in The Enchanted Forest? She was in the castle. She released the bird at the beginning. So that was another thing that happened both. So next...
I like how I'm looking down and I see notes from the last Charlie's Angels. So it's like Abby's father from Lost. And then we're talking about Lost.
Oh, that's funny. Yes, Abby's father was in Lost. So I guess these Lost people, they're really getting around these days. Meredith?
And can I just point out that Jamie Dornan is the sheriff, plays Sheriff Graham.
Did he do anything else?
Aside from look really hot?
He looks like the Wolfpack guy from True Blood with the scruff and...
Looks like who?
Ashton Kutcher.
Okay, I know who that is. He's married to Demi Moore.
Was.
Well, they're still married, but are they? I think they're getting divorced.
I like to think ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay, so next we switch back to Enchanted Forest, and Snow White has the baby early, and then they freak out because the tree that they fashioned into a wardrobe can only protect one person. So they decide instead of protecting Snow White, they're going to protect the baby. So Prince Charming has to fight off the evil queen's minions, and he does. He gets to the wardrobe just in time, puts a baby in the wardrobe while he's bleeding to death, and saves the baby. And then we jump back. Emma finds Henry at a castle on the beach. It was really neat, actually. I like the little, it's like a tree house, but it's looks like a castle, and it's on the beach. So it was really neat.
It was the most pimp tree house I think I've ever seen. Like, the Waldens probably had that as a tree house. The Waltons? I don't know. I'm trying to think of the Wordsworth. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a nice rich family name.
The Stebbins?
The Kennedys, maybe?
Okay.
Right. Trying to get all creative.
So next we get back to the Enchanted, or actually Emma. Henry begs Emma to stay 1 week, just 1 week. And she just kind of shrugs him off and is like, no way I'm staying in this crazy place. We switch back. Prince Charming is presumably dead or on his last breath.
He
got stabbed multiple times. So then the evil queen shows up and says, the only happy ending will be mine. And suddenly the whole castle breaks apart, and now we switch back over to the real world, and this is where we see the evil queen taking this fairy tale book from Henry. Oh, I forgot to mention that. At the beginning,
we missed a huge part.
Yeah, missed a huge part. At the very beginning, Henry, when he first met his mother, he brought a fairy tale book with him. Book of all the fairy tales. And right away he starts hammering Emma that she's actually a fairy tale creature, and they all are. And so he's telling her this throughout the entire show. Of course she doesn't believe it. She thinks the little kid is either lonely or crazy. And she mentions it to his mother at one point, but his mother just shrugs it off and is like, I don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, we're back at the end. Emma decides that she's going to leave, and the evil queen decides. What does she say?
Well, no, I think she drops off. Does she drop off Henry? Yeah, she drops off Henry at the house, and at some point, I think the evil queen like jumped on her for no reason. She just says like she's just trying to be nice, and I think at one point, you know, Emma's talking about her birthday, and it's like, you know what's weird? It's like, I wish to not be alone on my birthday, and then he popped up, and the queen just jumps down her throat, like, look, you gave him up, you have no right to him, just freaks out, and I don't think she even really wants to be in his life, she's just trying to be, you know, to have a story, and I think that's really what turned the tide. Like, if she'd just been cool, I think she would have left, but...
Well, she says at one point, she says, the evil queen says, you know, you gave him up, you have no right to anything, you don't get to do anything, and at that point, I think Emma was feeling really guilty.
It's like saying, I triple dog dare you almost, like, stay.
So as the queen's walking back into the house, Emma suddenly says, do you love him?
No.
And the queen turns around and says, hesitates and says, yes, I love him. Which actually, let Mike explain it.
Earlier on, she thought, when she's talking to the boy, she says the one thing that she can do, she doesn't have a lot of skill set, but the one thing she can do is tell liars. And so I picked up, I'm almost sure it's probably definitely that she saw her tell or whatever that she's lying, that she doesn't love the boy. So now she's going to,
in the beginning she said Henry threatened to call the police and lie and make this big story up of that she kidnapped him. And that's when Emma says, there's not a lot of things I can do, but I can tell when someone's lying. And you're lying, she says to the little boy. Then later on, when he's confronting her about the storybook characters, and he says, am I lying? She says, well, just because you believe it doesn't make it true.
So she could tell he wasn't lying.
She could tell he wasn't lying. And then at the end, just like Mike said, she believed that the evil queen does not love Henry. So she decides that she's going to stay at least a few days. Oh, no, 1 week. She goes to the local bed and breakfast, which is called Granny's, and Granny and Granny's granddaughter happen to be
Granny and Little Red Riding Hood. But I guess apparently in this version, Little Red Riding Hood is a hussy.
Yes, Little Red Riding Hood is hot.
I love how Granny said, sorry for having a heart attack so you can sweep your way down the eastern seaboard.
Yes, this is not your...
She is, as I like to coin the phrase, a slut muffin.
Yes. So that's basically the end of the show. We also meet one last character, Mr. Gold, who in the Enchanted Forest is Rumpelstiltskin, so it kind of makes sense his name is Mr. Gold, because Rumpelstiltskin, in case you don't remember, was able to spin straw into gold. And that's how the fairy tale works in there.
This is a show that I really hope doesn't get canceled. It's really creative. And
that's the end of our
summary. Sorry, Taskmaster.
Yes, of course. We can go to our first talking point, which is, will the show be canceled?
You kind of had me worried. I guess, like you said, it's the just the bare bones fact that 90% of new shows get canned because of viewership. I really hope it doesn't. It seems like a quality show. As with Charlie's Angels, from week to week, we were kind of, laughing and trying to have fun with it. But this is actually, it's kind of cool. I like looking at the stories and finding out the back line. And I think the cast is great, too. I think it's a good cast.
I definitely thought the writing was way hands and above Charlie's Angels.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The writers have lost. I mean, that's like kind of having Christopher Nolan direct your... the Batman movies and stuff. Everything they touch turns into gold.
No. That's true. But on the same hand, remember, to even watch this show, you have to suspend imagination a little bit. You have to have a very open mind, whatnot. It's kind of sci-fi or fantasy. And so the dialogue in a show like this could easily just be completely corny.
Well, where Charlie's Angels had corny, disgusting dialogue, and we were like, all right, this is unrealistic. This one has corny dialogue that it's fits, because like the flashbacks to the forest and everything, that's how they talk in the books, So I thought that made sense.
And I do want to point out that the flashbacks to the Enchanted Forest, I thought, were so realistically done that they weren't so cheesy or fake. They were actually really, and I think they did that on purpose to kind of broaden the audience, that it's not just a children's show.
Anytime you think something's cheesy, you can always chalk it up to, it's a fairy tale story.
Exactly. And some of the lines actually were corny and kind of cheesy, but it made sense in the context.
I think the only one that was corny was the one at the beginning when you pointed it out when she's a bail bondsman and she gets the guy in the car and she says, I think she says some kind of corny line. That's when it's in the real world where it's kind of not needed, but when you go back to the fairy tale, that's okay.
And I will do. I want to point out that my really good friend texted me just like while I was watching the show and said encourage me to watch the show, and of course I was already watching it. But he said he thought I would really like it, and that surprised me because he doesn't watch a lot of TV, and for him to be watching this kind of show kind of tells me that maybe it has a lot more buzz than I thought. And then he texted me, he said he had mixed feelings, and when he first started watching it, he was going to turn it off, but he says that he kept watching, even though he thought it was stupid. Because now, by the end of the show, he wants to see the next episode, so maybe it won't get canceled. Maybe it'll actually make the past first season.
Well, you pointed out there to film that episode, which is great.
Yeah, they filmed, it looks like, about 9 episodes.
At first, I was like, what can they possibly talk about for 9 episodes or more? But there's over 200 fairy tales in the Brothers Grimm book, so they have so much to go back on. And
you know what? That's the other Lost was really good at keeping the flashbacks. Lost was – every episode was filled with flashbacks. So if you think about it, each episode, half the story is going to be a flashback into a fairy tale. So in a way – they will have plenty of storyline. I'm just wondering, though, the storyline in the real world might get a little stale. The flashbacks might be more interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'm waiting for when they drop the hammer on us, when they start doing, like, side flashbacks and front flashbacks and do, like, crazy. Maybe, like, I mean, like, yeah, you don't want to copy Lost, but I could see them doing, like, a forward flash, forward flash at some point and really kind of... That's when you really they got us in Lost, when like the season finales of Lost were unparalleled in TV history, where we had like the season finale where all of a sudden it was a forward flash or this flash. We were just kind of like, what the, it was insane. So they're gonna drop some kind of bomb on us, I'm sure, at some point.
Absolutely.
And in terms of the audience, I mean, you can watch, kids can watch it. It's a family show.
But it's for adults, and I actually compare it to Shrek, because Shrek to me. It's like it really reminded me a lot of it. And even though Shrek was geared towards kids, I watched Shrek, and so did my partner. We liked it. And it's not something that I'm not a big animated cartoon, you know, movie fan, but I liked Shrek.
And it's kind of creepy. Like, Rumpelstiltskin creeped me out a little bit, but I liked it.
You liked it, huh? Well, another point we wanted to bring up, you said, does the queen, and you even said even Rumpelstiltskin, do they know? Because I kind of feel like maybe they do, maybe they don't, who knows?
Because part of the evil queen's curse was no one in the real world will know about their former lives. But does that include the witch?
At first I thought they both knew, but why would she want Emma to leave so soon?
Because she knows that Emma may be able to break the curse.
I'm sorry, but she didn't want her to leave because she gave her the apple cider. That's what I was thinking. And then...
Well, isn't the apple cider like a poison?
I didn't know what it was, if it was a poison, so she'd kill her, or...
I didn't even pick that up. Apple cider. Yeah. If you don't know, the evil queen poisoned Snow White with an apple. So in the real world, the evil queen gave her apple cider.
So yeah, so I feel like... And even the sheriff the next day says, he's like, her cider's a little stronger than you expect or whatever. So she got in a car accident.
Did you think she was so adamant about her leaving at the end because she knew that if she could tell the witch, the mother didn't really care for the son, that she would stay?
Well, she was also locked up, and they said that, did they do a blood alcohol test on her? Is that why? That she was locked up versus a doctor's office?
I don't. They really didn't. That wasn't clear. Just the sheriff just alluded to it, saying her drinks are stronger than you think, and she goes, "I'm not drunk." There was a wolf in the middle of the road,
and they all laughed at the wolf.
But this is where I think it's funny, because at the beginning, and we saw the previews that said kind of it'll blur the lines. But I feel like, aside from the queen, she's the outlier. She's the one who did the curse. You're gonna have good and evil working together. The wolf is obviously a bad person. He tries to kill the Red Riding Hood. I don't know if he does or not. I forgot. But they're going to be working together. I feel like the wolf tried to keep her there. So she,
the boy.
Save the boy and no, unlock everyone. They're all in the curse.
Well, yeah.
Okay, that brings us to our next point, which is a special segment, which I wanted to bring up this article from The Week, and the title is Grimm vs. Once Upon a Time, Which New Fairy Tale Show Is Better? And in case our listeners don't know, Grimm is another new show that starts on Friday. So weird that both fairy tale shows start. And the Grimm show is about also fairy tales. And
what a badass way, though.
Yeah, much more of a gritty cop detective show. And each episode, there'll be some kind of murder, and it will mimic a fairy tale.
Well,
so
there was a movie in the early 1990s. I think you were singing the song earlier, the Little Red Riding Hood song. Do you remember that? Where it was about a serial killer. I'll look it up.
Yes, Meredith, please look it up.
I was thinking more of, because apparently the cop can see the evil people for what they are, like a wolf. Like, I guess everybody sees them as a person. I was thinking Frailty with Matthew McConaughey, and the guy from Big Love, which Jennifer Goodwin is also in Big Love. What's his name? Where he can touch demons and see them for who they are. So it's kind of that.
It says here, each murder is a modern retelling of a fairy tale in which fantastical villains like Red Riding Hood's Big Bad Wolf appear to be human. And the homicide detective, a descendant of the Brothers Grimm, sees them for what they really are.
He's kind of badass to me. I think the article kind of said Once Upon a Time was easily superior.
Well, because they've seen both shows already. They saw both pilots early. So they said that Once Upon a Time is wacky with over-the-top characterizations and a giddy pace as the narrative zips back and forth between present-day reality and fairyland. But the structure works for the show, and the special effects are top notch, and the cast is winning.
I like that because, like I said, Morrison, I think, was great from House, and I guess it's an upgrade for her. She's going from cable.
Yeah, and
House is actually I watched reruns on USA, but House actually is not cable; it's Fox. So,
but Grimm, they call actually predictable and too serious.
Really?
So the
premise. I guess some people just, you know, the writing's not good. The premise sounds badass to me. Like it's every murder is a cool fairy tale that I thought sounds kind of cool. And they both really have their own little niche, which is cool. Usually, you can't really run those. You said they're side by side.
Yeah. They said that, you know, because both shows are so, the tone is so different, that they could theoretically exist side by side. Because Grimm is very dark, it's very, you know, gritty, whereas Once Upon a Time is light and fluffy and can be reach a very broad audience. Children, I think adults will like it. Grimm is probably definitely an adult show. But they say, they predict that neither show will last, unfortunately.
That was disappointing, because they were both like, I guess it's all about the money and the ratings and everything, but they're, you know, they said that neither one will last, which just sucks because they were saying so many good things about it. And then all of a sudden we just see.
But that was just one person's opinion, obviously. So, you know, we never.
I think a lot of people liked it. If you look on IMDb, when we were watching the show, they have a rating. And as I was watching, I mean, that's a pretty good rating. It was like a 7.8 last time I checked, which is pretty solid, you know, from the viewer's perspective.
Well, I hope it lasts, because I don't want to have to find yet another show to host.
Like I said at the end of Charlie's Angels, what if we become that little cat at the old folks' home that snuggles up next to the person that's about to die next and it, like, makes the predictions, and we're like ABC's, like, nemesis, which I really don't want to be, but we'll see.
Okay. Anything else, Meredith?
The movie is called Striking Distance with Bruce Willis.
Okay. What's it about?
It's about a serial killer, and I just remember they played the Little Red Riding Hood song.
Was Sarah Jessica Parker?
No. yeah, was Sarah Jessica Parker?
They're like boat cops.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't get how that has to do with, right? Oh, the song you mean? I was just singing a song because I heard it on the radio. So. Jason's is annoyed that we're going out of the box.
No, not at all. I guess our next thing is predictions. So, who wants to start with that?
I can start.
Mike?
I definitely think we're going to see...
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now let's get into predictions. So, I think, obviously, they alluded to Red Riding Hood at the end of the show. I think we'll see maybe her backstory and maybe some action with her. And hopefully, the wolf kind of made a small appearance too. So we'll see. I want to see some more of that gothic sexiness that she brings to the screen, but that's just me. Meredith?
I'm just excited to see how they're going to tie in all the storybook characters. Like I mentioned earlier, Jack and Beanstalk is one of my favorites. I'm excited about that. Hopefully that'll even be tied in. And Hansel and Gretel, perhaps. I don't know how they're going to tie them in, but that'd be pretty cool.
I'm just, I predict that we will, the three of us will be here next week bringing you Once Upon a Time on AfterBuzz. That's my big prediction. And hopefully that prediction will last the whole season and not just four episodes.
Yeah, I mean, because even if they dropped the hammer so quick. So hopefully that was kind of our first experience with that. Hopefully they'll keep it going, because this is going to be one show where if they do end it early, everyone that does like the show is going to be so disappointed, because they're going to miss out on all the stories that they were looking forward to.
Yeah, and there's so many unanswered questions already, so it's like they can't cut it off just yet.
Can they at least come up with like a graphic novel if they cancel it? Can we petition ABC just ahead of time? And we're definitely jumping the gun right now, but we're scorned right now.
Yeah, we're scorned. Okay, that wraps up our show tonight. Buzz you later.
You know, with my awesome guests that we've been Modern Family. Thank you.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@afterbuzztv.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us TV.
Buzz you later.
AfterBuzz. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.